Everybody. This evening I will be reading from Luke chapter 14, verses 28 through 33. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, "This person began to build and wasn't able to finish." Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples.
Thank you, Marco. Analyze, adapt, and overcome. I want you to just think of those three words there for a second and just picture them in your mind. And when we're done with this lesson here tonight, I want to see if we all reach the same conclusion that those three words, that the same conclusion that I reach after reading God's word and applying his message and his word to my life. As Mark just read from Luke 14, 28 through 33, and 28 says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you. I want to stop right there. I think it's important how we deal with our issues and our problems, whether it's, you know, it's in our relationships, whether it's with your spouse, with your friend, with your coworker, with people you haven't even met. I think the foundation, having that in mind always, is important. Is it a solid? Am I building this relationship on a solid foundation? I have this figurine up here, which is a father and a son. I got this about 5 years or 6 years ago. Then I saw this rock. And right away, I knew what to do with this rock. I picked it up, cleaned it up, brought it home, placed it in front of it. Not to worship, but because it had meaning. It had meaning. And that meaning to me, I shared with my son. I said, son, do you know what this means? He was six then, and he said no. So I explained to him about the wise and the foolish builder. I actually read it to him. And I said, no matter what relationship, whether it's with your friends, whether it's with me, whether it's with your mother, whether it's with any other person, we always have to strive to build that relationship on a solid foundation. That's what God talks about being, whether we're being wise or foolish. Because if we don't build it on a solid foundation, we're going to find ourselves coming back again and dealing with the same problems over and over and over again. And there's only one God. And if we look to him for those answers, he will give us the guidance that we need. You know, and it has to be on his time, not our time. And I take great joy in that now, 5 years later, I ask my son, do you know what this means? And he says, yes. It's God being the solid foundation. So, you know, that brings great joy that 5 years later, he can look at that, and that's what it means to him. And he knows that it comes from the Bible, that it's something that we all need, every single one of us. In Matthew 7:24-27, that's where Jesus talks to us about the wise and the foolish builders. It says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. As you can see there, it talks about, again, Jesus is letting us know not to be wise by the standards of this world, but to be wise in the eyes of God. And it's hard. It's hard because I can tell you from my own experiences, it's hard even as a Christian. You know, sometimes I have to make that decision. Do I want to be happy or do I want to be right? And that's usually when it comes to an end. Most of the time it's, I want to be happy, so I let things go. No, I'm kidding, babe. No, because she's right. So it's a win-win. And we have to see it that way also when we're dealing with problems. I mean, we heard this morning the parables as Greg was talking about the parables this morning. And it's a way, it boils down to that. It's, you know, that good soil and that good water, it's the Word. You know, it's seeking His counsel, seeking His wisdom, and applying it to our daily walk, to our relationship with one another. When we approach people who are not Christians, you know, do we approach them in a way that's inviting? Are we being that light? Or are they looking at us and saying, I want nothing to do with that person or his beliefs? Or are we being inviting to them by the way that we act, the way that we are, the way that we conduct ourselves as Christians? You know, even though my mom, you know, she was Catholic, but she wasn't a devout Catholic. She didn't go to church every Sunday. She did set an example for us, and there's 9 of us in my family. You know, my mom and dad never argued in front of us. Whatever indifferences they had, they dealt with them behind closed doors. But they always tried to set the best example they could for us on how to conduct ourselves. And in one way or another, now that I'm grown and I studied God's Word, you know what? There were godly ways. Some weren't, but for the biggest part, they were. And it's all about love. It boils down to that. You know, instructing or sharing, it's how when we talk to one another, I mean, are we doing it because we really care and we love about, you know, we love the other person and we really want to help them? Are we reaching out because we just want to look good to the world? Or are we reaching out because that's what God has put in our heart? In 1 Corinthians 9:19-23, it says, though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I may save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. We just finished this week with VBS. And we were surrounded by all these little angels. Some of their actions maybe wouldn't be considered angel-like, but for the most part, they were. And it was a blessing. It was a blessing to have shared for whoever. It's a blessing for us as a congregation, as a church, as a family, that we were able to share in that and participate and be part of that and share God's love and also to try to inspire them. You guys, I don't know if you heard when Vern read the letter this morning, but even that one, it makes it all worth the while. But the impact was much greater than that. If you weren't here Friday evening, you should have. You missed out on something really great, seeing the community come together. Seeing when we really step up and we do something that causes the community to look towards God, to see the love, to see the caring, to see that they're not alone, you know, that they're, you know, we are a family, is an awesome thing. I mean, our relationships with others should always echo what Christ came here to do in our walk, in our Christian walk. In Matthew also 10:16, God knows the type of world we live in, but yet he wants us to be bold and courageous. I mean, don't get us wrong. He knows that there's going to be troubles and trials and tribulations. We're going to, you know, hit speed bumps in all types of our walk with Christ. And in there it says, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Meaning, when we're out here conducting ourselves and we call ourselves Christians, we got to make sure that it's God's will that we're doing, not ours. Because when we take things into our own hands, we can make a mess of it. I know that if I don't analyze and adapt and overcome to whatever situation I'm presented with, the way God would, or the way God would want me to, then I make a mess of it. I don't end up where God would have me, or where God would want me to be, in my relationship with my wife, with my family, with my fellow brothers and sisters, with people that I still really haven't formed that relationship. But if there's any type of disagreement, I got to look to God and ask him for wisdom, his godly wisdom, his guidance, and for him to direct me in the way that he thinks he finds fitting. And I need to also learn how to trust and be patient, because that, you know, sometimes when we come across problems, those answers aren't going to be there right away. We have to pray, and we have to be patient, and we got to look to him. In James 1:19-20, it says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. I mean, that pretty much says it all. How we ought to conduct ourselves with one another, towards our fellow brothers and sisters, those in Christ and those out of Christ. You know, we got to look for those opportunities. And not like this morning, when Dave was giving a sermon, we had nothing to up there on the screen, but yet we had to move forward. We had to analyze, adapt, and overcome. We had to do with what we had, and we did. The same thing, you know, if things presented themselves, you know, during crafts, but we had to analyze, adapt, and overcome. And the end result was that beautiful letter. But not only that, the smiles on the children. And I'm sure that everybody, it's, you know, we can all share, every single person, member or non-member of this church, can share in that joy and that gladness, because we're all part of that family. That letter wasn't written to the crafts. That letter was written to the church, because it took every single one of us here to make that happen, directly or indirectly. But it was pleasing unto God. We were doing his will. In Galatians 6:1-10, says that we should set our pride aside and focus on what God would have us do. For greater is the reward to those who serve the Lord. Amen? It says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the world should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. And whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Here we are being called into action. You know, we are being called to be Christ-like, not to be pass judgment on anybody, but we're being called to action. Godly action. So again, it's looking to God and doing His will, not our will in our life and in our relationships with one another, but doing God's will in our lives and seeking His wisdom. I know at times it's hard to do that, especially when you're in an argument or in a disagreement. It's really hard to stop. But there's a saying, I mean, if the other person is angry and you think nothing of that person, make sure that that person doesn't feel the same way. Because if that's the case, then ain't nobody hearing, nobody's hearing no one. And God's will ain't being done there. So we got to stop. We have to analyze the situation. We have to adapt to it. I mean, is it really that important? You know, in the second part of what Marco read to us, it talks about going to war. It talks about being wise. And I really think it's telling us that we should choose our battles carefully. I mean, God really doesn't want us at war with one another. You know, that's not the reason He sent His Son here, to create. You know, He did say that He came to create divisions, but that's because where they stood in their beliefs, not because He wanted to divide families, not because He wanted to divide people, but He wanted to make sure that they were focused on His Father, on God. That's the reason. In 2 Timothy 3:16-17, it says, all Scripture is God breath and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We need the Word of God and our actions to be one, to be in line. So when we're asking for that wisdom, that's when we can apply it to how we adapt to whatever situation is presented. I mean, regardless of what it is, again, if we are seeking His guidance and His direction in our life, we know that the outcome is going to be good. Amen? So I'm going to close it out with Romans 12:2. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So analyze, seeing it God's way. Adapt, allowing God to work through us. And overcome, trusting that God's way will lead us down a righteous path and to an eternal life. Amen? So if you haven't accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you would like us to pray for you, then right now I'd ask you to come up as we stand up and sing this song. I have decided.